All right, 2 Kings chapter 22 tonight. We are at this point in Judah's history where we're about to see somewhat of a turnaround for Judah, because the past 57 years has been really a holy terror for the nation of Judah with the two bad kings, with Manasseh and his son, and it's been really bad for them. So we know that they've had several points of during Judah's history that a revival has come in some form or fashion, and we've seen it through Asa, we've seen it through Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, and now we're going to see it through Josiah. So they've had some moments in history where there has been revival and there has been a turn back to the Lord. And I think each of us, sometimes our hearts and our souls seem to get dry. We can all use a revival sometime in our own personal lives. We were just talking about our country. Our country needs a major, major revival. I mean, the world as a whole needs a revival. But we know that revivals don't necessarily start with large groups of people. It doesn't necessarily start with denominations or anything like that. But it starts with the individual. And we can pray for our husbands and our wives and our moms and dads, and we can pray for our bosses, and we can pray for our children and coworkers and friends. But ultimately, we need to get on our own knees, and we need to get on our own face before the Lord and ask the Lord to start revival with each and every one of us. And once that happens, I think it can get contagious, and it can spread like a wildfire. And we'll see that here with Josiah as we get into it. I'm going to read real quick, because Josiah was spoken about back in 1 Kings chapter 13, actually called out by name hundreds of years before he came about. And it says in chapter 13, verse 2 of 1 Kings, says, "Then he cried out against the altar." This is Jeroboam that was here being given a message by one of the messengers of God. It says, "By the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, O altar, thus say the Lord, behold a child, Josiah, by name." Now, you know you're something if you get hundreds of years beforehand, your name's being pointed out. "Shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you." So we're going to get a little taste of who Josiah was tonight. So we're going to see a little change in Judah's path here. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jodidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath." Here we go. And should just say Easter Bunny, right? So, "and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." Can you imagine 8 years old becoming king? That's like looking at my daughter, who is the youngest one, is 10, and she's becoming queen of something. I just can't fathom. At 8 years old, I was sure not wanting to run a kingdom. I just wanted to play baseball all day long. You know, that's what I wanted to do. But here we go. We have this child at 8 years old becoming king. Now, you know, and he's becoming king because his father was assassinated. So, you know, at 8 years old, he's had to have, God had had to put some good advisors around him at 8 years old. There's no way he's running the kingdom at 8 years old. There's someone else who's definitely behind the scenes, but the Lord ultimately is behind the scene orchestrating this all. And at such a young age, it talks about him, you know, doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, that's kind of a breath of fresh air over the past couple chapters of seeing how evil these past two kings were, and we see this, and I think it doesn't necessarily speak to him at that point at 8 years old, but pretty much his reign as king, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And how many of y'all has ever been whitewater rafting? I have. And whenever you go whitewater rafting, there's a place you want to be on that river not to get ripped up, and that's in the tongue or the center, not on the left side or right side of where the currents are at. Because you get there, your canoe or your raft can get ripped up, and you can fall in, and it's not fun. I have fallen in before, and it was not fun. But we see Josiah here staying in the tongue, if we so to speak, of God's will. He said he didn't go to the left. He didn't go to the right. But he stayed right in the center where he should be, for where he can walk in that path that God has guided him in. And that's where we need to be. If we want a revival to come to us and we want revival in our own personal walks with Christ, we got to stay in the tongue of what Christ has for us. Stay in the center of what Christ has for us. And how do we do that? And we'll see a couple different areas on how we can do that as we get into Scripture. But staying in His Word, praying, you know, studying what the Lord has for us, following His statutes, right? Following His commands. And we'll see Josiah doing that here in chapter 22. In verse 3, it goes on and says, "Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers of the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hands, because they deal faithfully." So we had faithful men being able to deal with the finances and the ins and outs of rebuilding the temple. So that's a good thing to have faithful men like that. So we see one of the start of Josiah starting to bring this reform back to the nation of Judah. He's going to start off by getting the religious practices back in order. We're going to get the temple back in order, which is the central point of their worship of the true and living God. So let's get the temple back on point. And then it talks more about it in Chronicles 34, 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, that he also had a reformation, or he started a revival in the nation of Judah. That was the second phase of it, after he's starting to get the temple back up, to where he would bring the people back to the true and living God, because they have gone really far away. And we talked last week that a lot of these people, we talk about Manasseh bringing them into idolatry and all these things, but you know what? The people willfully went into idolatry. They were following the leader that they had at the time, and just like sheep, they would follow whatever shepherd, whether good or bad, in the direction they were going to go in. But now we have Josiah, who's about to turn that all around. And Josiah, he understood that there had to be repair on this temple. There were spots in this temple, breaches in this temple that were broken and tore down. You remember Manasseh even had images inside of the temple that they would worship, of Asherahs, and they needed to come out. And the temple had been really neglected by the people and by the nation as a whole. So we see Josiah going in to do that. And how about us? How about the breaches we have in our temple? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 that we are the temple of God and the Spirit dwells within us. But we're not perfect. We have breaches. We have areas in our life, areas of bitterness, areas of anger and hostility or jealousy, or you can name it. The list can go on. We have our own breaches that we have to get healed in our temple. And we do that by the love of Christ and what He's given to us, sharing that love with others and asking Christ to come in and fill those breaches and to rebuild our temple. And I think He does that every day. We have our struggles every day. We have our breaches that come up every day. But the Lord comes in and fills them if we let Him. If we just and invite Him to come in and, "Lord, I have this breach in my life. I have this issue in my life. I need help." Because why? We can't do it on our own. We can try and fill in the holes and fill in the gaps, but we can't. And if you ever tried before, you know how failure feels then. But the Lord can fill those gaps in for us. So one of the first things that happened in this revival is that the breaches of Judah were starting to get refilled again. And the Lord is going to start acting again with His people. Going on to verse 8, it says, "Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. I find it kind of funny how he lets them know, hey, we found some money in there. They're taking care of building the temple. And, oh, by the way, we found this book. You know, not like the book was important or anything, but we found this book. I don't think he realized the importance of it at the time. But let's think about that in the book of the law. In Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, it tells us that each king was to have a personal copy of that book, of the book of the law, and he was to read it. Over the past 57 years, I don't think that happened. And probably even further back than that, they may not have happened. We know that wasn't happening in the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, that wasn't happening. Deuteronomy 31 also goes on to tell us that the entire law was to be read to the assembly of the nation every 7 years, the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't think that was happening either. And the Levites who were scattered out were to make sure that the people read it and understood what the book of the law was saying. And we see that this was very much neglected by the nation of Judah as well as the nation of Israel. The first time we hear about the reading of the law was in Joshua 8:30. He read the law before the congregation. Then we go back to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 17:7. He read it. That was more than 500 years later that he read it. And then the next time we hear about it is Josiah about to read it. Now, I'm pretty sure the book of the law was read in between those times, too. I'm not saying it wasn't. But it must be something very important for it to be mentioned over and over again, reading from the book of the law. So now we're going to see the word of God spread back to the nation of Judah. They're rediscovering the law. They're rediscovering who God is and what he has for this nation. So another thing that leads to revival is the rediscovery of God's word. I was listening to a pastor speak about the reason we have a lot of the evil we have in our time today. It's because we have more evil because we have less time with the Bible. People are not reading the word of God. They're not taking the word of God seriously. There's many, as we know, that come in as wolves in sheep clothing, giving their congregations exactly what they want to hear. Timmy talked about their itching ears. Hey, whatever you want to hear, that's what I'm going to preach. They're not preaching the truth of the gospel and preaching the truth of this word. And that's why we have so many people confused and falsely calling themselves Christians sometimes. And that's why our nation is where it's at, because we have gone away from the Lord. When they took prayer out of school and they took the word out of school and they don't want us to go into the school and teach our children the word, that's why evil happens. This word is used like a mirror. It reflects on who we really are and that we're in need of a Savior, that we're really wretched and nothing without him. So you take that mirror away from someone, they can believe whoever they want to be. They can be who they want to be because there's nothing reflecting who they truly are. And the nation of Judah didn't have that word. They didn't have that mirror to reflect who they really were. So they walked in evil. In America right now, we have so many copies of the Bible. So many copies. I have quite a few at my house. I'm sure some of you have quite a few different translations. But we can have so many copies of this word right here, which can bring revival if we allow it to feed into our souls and make us like Christ. But how many of us are really reading our word, really taking our time to dig into the word to see what God has to say? We're going to see in a minute Josiah tore his clothes, because once he started reading the law and realized how far off they were from God, he had a godly sorrow about him. How many of us have that godly sorrow when we read this word that it brings something to us like, oh, wow, this is really how wretched I am. And that it reminds us that we need a Savior. And so many, we're so blessed in America with all these Bibles, but we're just biblically illiterate right now, not knowing the word. And we really need a revival that brings us back to the word right now. So remember, read your Bible, okay? That's the key to revival. Verse 11. It says, "Now it happened, when the king heard the word of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes." He was really brought down whenever he read this book, realizing that we have come so far off that he had to actually tear his clothes. And that tearing of his clothes led to repentance, not only in his life, but we're going to see in the nation of Judah as well. And repentance is another step that leads to revival. Knowing that we are sinners and in need of a Savior, and when we finally really grasp that, not just hear it as a concept, but really grasp it in our heart, that without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we can't get to heaven. We can't even do the good things that we do on our own without Christ. And that all comes to repentance. And not a repentance that, oh, we've been caught in what we're doing, but I just said that godly sorrow, a repentance of a true repentance, not something that's fake and manufactured by ourselves, but a repentance that's brought on by conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. And in John 16:8, he speaks about the Holy Spirit and what he'll do. He says, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. And reading this word will convict us of sin and lead us to the Savior. And lead us to revival and lead us to something fresh and new in what God has for us. Amen. Verse 12, it says, Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Akbar, and the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the word of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So he knew that their forefathers were not following the book of the law. And he did a great thing once he got it, unlike some of the other kings, even some of the good kings. First thing he did was go inquire of the Lord. Go find out what God has to say about this. Because we know we're going to be under judgment. We know what the Lord has spoke over the past 57 years, what's going to happen to us. Go and inquire of the Lord. We need to go inquire of the Lord and see what he has to say daily. We shouldn't make, and we're all guilty of it, but we shouldn't make any decisions without inquiring the Lord about it. Any decisions. So a request for instruction from the Lord could be the next step in revival. When Paul was knocked down on the ground when he was on Damascus Road, what did he ask Jesus whenever he knew who it was? He says, what do you want me to do? He was knocked down. The Lord showed himself. Next thing, what do you want me to do? And that's what we should be asking the Lord every day when we wake up. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who do you want me to go talk to about you? What kind of actions do you want me to take? You know, we need to seek the Lord daily on what his plan is. And often we just kind of neglect it and we kind of just go do our own thing. And we don't really think about the Lord sometimes during the day. We get so busy in our day-to-day routines, we forget to even talk to him about things. And sometimes that ends up being very bad for some of us. So it's good to go out and seek the Lord. So I don't know what the Lord has for you. I don't know what plans he has, but just inquire him. Ask him. Seek him for revival. We can all use revival daily, I feel. We can just always be revived in the Lord. So just seek him in what he has. Verse 14, it goes on. So Hilkiah the priest, Hakim, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the men who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and they have and they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. The Lord is upset with the nation of Judah. And we'll see, and we'll get into it, we'll see that Josiah won't feel the wrath of this, but it is still to come. So he goes to this prophetess. He could have went to Jeremiah. He was there during this time. But he went to this prophetess. The Lord led him to this prophetess to get this inquiry from the Lord. And Josiah knew that Judah deserved judgment. He knew the history of where Judah had come from. And we can just look at his father and his grandfather. He really didn't need to go much further than that. But he knew that Judah deserved judgment, just like America deserved judgment, just like each and every one of us deserved judgment. Thank God for his blood, but we all deserve judgment. And God's word is true. Whether his promise of judgment was going to come true, God is faithful, and he demonstrates this through his word. Whether it's him bringing judgment on somebody someday, which he will judge the unbelievers, or having mercy on the believers, whenever we stand before him, his word is true throughout time. And we're going to see his word be made true here in a minute. In verse 18, it says, "But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, said the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your father, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see the calamity of which I bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Josiah humbled himself before the Lord when he heard this message. He didn't complain about it. He didn't get prideful over it and saying, "Oh, well, we're doing really good. I don't think God's going to bring judgment." He didn't do that, no. He had a tenderness towards the Word of God. And that tenderness brought humbleness to his life. We need to be tender towards the Word of God. We need to be tender in our hearts, we need to be tender in our ears to be able to listen to what the Lord has for us and what he wants to say to us through his word. And that's one of the steps towards revival, is humbling ourselves and having a tender heart towards the word of God and not being prideful or boastful about it. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we know we got it good because we're going to go to heaven, but we shouldn't boast in that at all. Just boast on the work of what Christ did. That's what we need to boast in. Because there's nothing we did at all. And we shouldn't think any highly of ourselves just because we're Christian and we have a hurting world out there and we're not going to be damned to hell. We need to go out and reach out to them and get over ourselves and reach the lost that's out there and have that tender heart and that humbleness that Josiah is reflecting right here. And it said that he went on to rest with his fathers. Now, he didn't die with this disaster that was about to happen. God did spare him from that. He did die in a battle, but he was able to rest in God's favor whenever that time came. And he did not see the calamity that was coming to the nation of Judah. Even his own tenderness and humbleness couldn't stop what God was going to do. You know, and some people say, well, you know, people were getting right with the Lord right here. Why couldn't the Lord have changed that? But that crop of sin had grown up so much and had gone so far that it had to be harvested at some point in time. The sin here in America is growing out of control. And at some point, the nation is going to have to pay for what it has done. And ultimately, the sin of the world is growing out of control. And when he returns for the second coming, the judgment will be upon it. So it will, the crop of sin will be harvested someday. And we see Judah's about to be harvested for their sins that they had committed. So in conclusion, looking back at this and looking about revival in our own walks, in our own family, in our own church, in our own community, it will start with the love of God in our hearts. You know, that love of God in our hearts, it fixes the breaches that we have in our temple. The rediscovery of God's word, his written word, his love letter to us, rediscovering that will bring revival to us. Repentance of our sin before God, having a godly sorrow in our heart, not wanting to be forgiven because I got caught, but wanting to be forgiven because I know how bad I am, and I need that forgiveness. Seeking God's instructions, the next thing, will bring revival. Seeking it through the word, seeking it through prayer, seeking it through counsel with other believers, godly men and women who can help guide us as well. But seeking his instruction. Number five, humbling ourselves and having a tender heart towards God. That will help bring revival into our individual walks and our communities and in our nation. So whatever orders these may come in, and they may come in different orders for you, for me, they probably came in different orders for everyone, just to remember to be humble and to just listen to the Lord and see what he has for you and see how that fire of revival can start in our hearts again. Amen? All right. Father, we thank you for this word tonight, Lord, and we do seek you, Lord, and we do want counsel with you, Father, that you would just tender our hearts, Lord, and bring us humbly before you to be instructed by you through your word and through prayer, Father, and that you would start a revival in our hearts, Lord, in our individual walks that would eventually unite this whole city and this whole nation, Father God, for you and for your glory, Father, that we may start walking in your ways again and get in that center course, in that straight path, Father God, of your will, Father. We do thank you for this word. We thank you for this time tonight. We ask for your blessings on each individual here and those who did not come tonight. We ask for your traveling mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.